I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello and welcome to the Knife Hour, episode 22. Can you believe we've had 22 episodes?
I can't believe that.
It's incredible. Today, we have an alumnus, which is always really exciting for me because I love to see what our students are doing after they leave. And this guy's got big stuff. It's a Pride Month special. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle.
And I'm Pega.
And we're so excited because today we have Todd Leon in the studio. Yay!
Hi.
You guys might not know Todd yet, but he is an up-and-comer. He is making so many short films. I was looking at your IMDb page. You've composed, two films? I think acted in 8, produced 2, directed and written. I think you wrote 2, directed 1 in the last 3 years?
Yeah, and that's including, it is. But mostly last year because I was a student before, so I didn't do much before.
So mostly in the last year,
all of this mostly in last year.
That's a lot of projects in one year.
Man.
Good for you.
Working hard.
Do you sleep?
I do.
How important is it?
Not very important.
I love it. Well,
there's no time to sleep.
Let's just jump right in. I want to ask you, when did you first fall in love with movies?
It's when I first came to the U.S., actually.
Oh,
because
That
was 2005.
Okay, and how old are you?
I was 15.
Oh, adorable. Okay.
Yeah, it was mostly at first I was doing it for learning languages. Like, learning English, basically, because I didn't really speak English that well at the time. And then my host family were like, well, you should watch a movie. So the first movie I watched was Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah, the trilogy one. And then, like, I have no idea what
to say. Is this your first movie ever, period?
Well, no, not period.
Okay,
but I watched, like, Chinese and Japanese films, animations and all that. But in terms of, like, Hollywood in English, I mean, I remember trying to watch it right before I came to America, watch Finding Nemo, but I didn't know what they were saying at
all.
Like, none of the words make sense to me. It's like the only thing I find out is like they say Nemo a lot. That's about it. But then like I started watching an old film. It was kind of funny because my host family in Seattle, that's where I spent most of my years in the U.S. And they wanted me to learn English, and then so they downloaded this 100 top movie I have to watch from AFI, which I just found out later it was AFI. And then we go from the list, go all the way down. So I watched about 35 movies from that list. So like including like Casablanca and like Citizen Kane and all the movies that's supposed to be very, very good and like classic ones basically. And I watched a lot of them, and like I realized I really like old movies because like it's very captivating. It's like they're acting. And the chemistry, it draws me in and make me feel like I'm in it. And then that's kind of when I realized I really like watching movies. And then, like, later on when I start doing, like, you know, acting and then start realizing I can actually make films myself, and that's when I realized I want to make movies that will capture the same kind of attention from everybody else and really mean something, you know?
Right.
So, amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, Booth, we can hear you in our cans just real quick. That's okay. Thank you. I was
hearing things too.
Okay, so you love classic movies. You start watching to learn English.
Right.
I love this story. One of my best friends is Colombian, and he started the same way. So when we showed him The Lion King in English, he was like, what's even happening? I was like, you never got to The Lion King? He's like, no, I've only seen this in Spanish. It's very weird. The main actress in Queen of Katwe, the first movie she saw was the one that she was in. Like, the first movie, period, full stop, in her whole life. So I like these stories of different times coming to movies. How do you think that affected the way you craft movies? Because were you more captivated by the images, or is it the language that was kind of inundating into the stories?
I mean, I think it was more of the... it was more how real the actors kind of stay in character, and then how those characters affected each other and affecting the audiences. So I feel like a lot of my... Even as I did a filmmaking program here for a month just to, you know, learn how to be a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And then... even then, I feel like my directing style is more acting performance based. Like, you know, because coming from the acting background, I felt like movie make only really makes sense when the characters are actually, you know, completely commit to the character,
yeah,
and actually, you know, send that message out. Because you can have the best script, you can have the best, you know, director and all that, but if you don't have the right actors to bring that to life,
sure,
it doesn't really work. But then, like, director's job is to make sure the actors bring them out. So then, like, yeah, so then I feel like the movies that I want to make, it's all very performance based.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And they all have some kind of message, each film they make that have, and what the goal of the movie are very similar in a way, like just to make a difference in terms of like what kind of awareness I want to bring out, and what kind of message is really important to me, and then to my story or to somebody else's story when I'm acting in it. So,
did you always have that in mind, or did you kind of find your voice as you went through the program and you started making several films? Were you?
I think I always felt this way, but before I was a medical student that. For me, I'm like an activist for like people, well, for like, you know, human rights and all that. And then back in college, and then like right, and then I started singing. I felt like I had the same reason for doing it, because on stage I want to share a story.
Sure.
And then acting, it's just like I feel like it, as I go through more and more art stuff, then I feel like that there's more ways to. It just blows my mind, I guess, because I feel like I have more ways to do that now, like through acting and singing and making mm-hmm. films, not just like, you know, going to like some kind of campaign protest, or like, it's like I can do much more than that, and then actually affect more people than by myself, you know, on my mm-hmm. own.
So it sounds like you like to make films with a message.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Most of my films do have that.
Why is that important? Like, I mean, some people that go out through making films for, you know, some people are like, oh, well, maybe I'll be famous. Or some people want to make movies just to, like, explore, like, their own terrors. We've had a lot of horror
yes.
fanatics on
yeah.
here.
Yes.
So what is it about... Why do you think it's important to communicate a message through your artwork?
I think art only, like, it... I think art is impactful because it has the message that relate to the audience who's watching it. And then, like, horror film, to me, it's more like it's a thrill that you're satisfying the audience's thrill, but like in a way that's to make it like, well, you can also make a horror film that's kind of both, like in Get Out, I thought was, you know, one of the
yeah.
films that does that. It has a message and is, you know, thrilling.
Absolutely.
At the same time.
Which movie?
Get Out.
We see the same yeah. thing with like Planet of the Apes
right.
is an
yeah.
early example
right.
of that.
So I feel like it's important to me mostly because I feel like it gives art a bigger purpose, and then it makes it even more satisfying as a filmmaker, as an actor, to finish it and then know that that actually does something to the society, to the community, to the people that need to hear it. Like, that's kind of how I started doing a lot of my short films I did on if it's directed or written by me, they're mostly going to be about like either LGBT communities or depression or coming out, or like even just about like Asian American actors and then what they have to go through. And then some of the future projects I'm working on currently right now all have some different messages, something I'm passionate about, and then that makes the project more fun for me to work on. And you find the like-minded people to work with you on those projects, and then it makes this whole process much more enjoyable. And then you know that when you finish, there's a way to bring this out to actually affect people. And then I I've even gotten a lot of feedback about like some of my projects, my films that really make a difference in somebody's life. So that's really, I feel like, what I'm most passionate about, like projects I actually do that to people. So
what's the first film that you made?
The first film I made
is
actually my thesis film, which is why I say it's last year, because I graduated last year, and it's really more of a personal story about me coming out to my father. And then
what's it called?
It's called Straight A.
Nice.
So the reason for that is because I was a straight A student, and then but I'm not straight.
Yes.
And my name is Alex in the film.
Oh wow! Amazing.
It has a cool meaning to it.
That's
really love
adorable.
That. And then it's a positive story, and the reason for that story is because it is true. That's what happened, except that it was over phone because my dad was overseas, and he's not here. But it's a positive outcome of a story for the Asian community to want to come out. And I think it's something that it's prohibited in China. You can't really have like a mainstream movies about homosexuality. That's not allowed. And I feel like having a message like that to really help like, you know, Asian millennials that really have, or even just the one that wanted to come out. And it's just like, sometimes you don't know what your parents are thinking of, and we don't give them enough credit sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what happened with my dad. And like, I came out to him and he was like, it's not like a super easy topic to talk about, but like, he was actually very supportive and then talked me through a lot of dating problems.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It's kind of fun, but yeah, but I would never have expected that from him, but you never know. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So.
And that's a great message to point out, is a lot of people who I've a ton of friends who just, were so scared to come out. It's like, my parents are going to kill me. They're going to disown me. And the complete opposite happened. And I think that's such an important message to get out there. Yeah.
Especially I think with marginalized communities where, like, I know, like, Pariah has done a lot for the black lesbian community and showing, like, you know, see, like, just what a struggle can look like and how you can come out of the other side of that and be okay. So that's, can people see that? Is that available? I know it's your thesis, and a lot of people don't want to show their thesis
anymore. Well, no, actually, I don't mind showing it. It's not, I mean, after a year of working on different films, this becomes not the best thing I've acted in. But I think it's still an important message. And right now, that film is, it just finished all the festivals.
So oh, nice. Like,
so yeah, it went through several festivals, won some awards. And then that one right now, it's contracted with Reverie. It's a LGBT sort of a Netflix, sort of like a Netflix-like platform. I just finished the contract with them, and then they were going to show it on there. And then in any second now, I can just, you know, put it public because it's done with festivals now, so it's actually not like it.
Congratulations. That's amazing. Absolutely. Yeah. So I want to talk to you. You're creating films with a message. I found out about you through NYFA's Industry Lab program, where you made another film called You Have More Friends Than You Know. Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Yeah, that project first came to me, came to my mind is because I have a friend who got married the year before that to his husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to Europe to like travel. And then when he came back, he sort of disappeared. And then he basically gone missing.
Mm-hmm.
And then his husband doesn't know where he was. And then his parents couldn't find him. And they have like weeks and weeks of like searching and police report. And then like he is a really sweet guy. And then right before that, he got married. And I met him in Seattle just to come out to him because he's my high school classmate, actually. He's 1 year old above me. And then, like, we were talking, and I was just like, you know, that's really cool because he's the first person I came out to from high school, because it's a Christian private high school. It's really conservative, and I was, like, never really gone back there to talk about this. And then, but so to me, it's weird that he gone missing, and they end up finding him dead. They conclude as a suicide.
Mm.
And it's very likely because he has depression, and then he's under a lot of pressure, and then he's working and as an activist for LGBT at Pride in Seattle. And then his disappearance is his death is really devastating for a lot of people, but what happened is like his family was sort of it was strange because he's Facebook name was changed to his husband's last name, but then after death, his parents took over his social media account, changed it back. And then I was invited to the funeral, which I couldn't go to because I think I was shooting something because I didn't know it was going to be that weekend. And then his husband wasn't invited. And his husband then disappeared on social media. And then to me, it's like, it's really hard for me to hear all of that and then to not do anything about it. And plus, like, then I, you know, around the same time, I joined the Gaiman Course of LA. And then they sort of made had this song rehearsal for another event, and it's called You Have More Friends Than You Know. And then that song was written by Jeff Marks, which is a Tony Award winner for Avenue Q.
Best musical.
It was really good. And then he wrote that song, and I listened to it. I cried so hard. And I looked it up, and I realized it was on Glee, the TV show. Mm-hmm. It was on It Gets Better Tour. But I don't find any actual like music video for it. And then I just said, perfect. That's a perfect opportunity. And then I felt like I need to make some kind of music video as a dedication to him. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, it's to raise awareness about depression, to raise awareness about LGBT community. And like, I felt like if he actually heard the song, he would have probably not done the same decision. Because mm-hmm. I feel like when you felt alone in this world fighting for a cause, and then your parents are really ultimately are not just parents, a community he's in, like, you know, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, and then him getting married, it was a big step for him, but I don't know exactly why he chose to end his life. But I feel like it's an important message to know that you do have more friends than you know. And in the lyrics itself, he also says, like, those that love you the most may need more time to grow. Mm-hmm. So it's exactly kind of what everybody is kind of going through. Like, you know, even if your parents might not be the same as my movie, they're very accepting and loving, it doesn't mean they don't love you. It's just, like, sometimes they just need more time to really understand what's happening. And then... So then, like, I think that music video was, that's why I brought it to the industry lab, and I was like, I want to make this video. And then, like, I crowdfunded it, and then I ended up getting, you know, a good budget, and then actually half of it came from the composer, Jeff Marks.
Wow.
He was like, he wanted me to make sure I can do this, and so he gave me the money, and then we were able to shoot it, and good then just, yeah.
So what goes into creating both a music video for, like, a beloved property, but also... trying to do kind of like a in memoriam for someone, you know, right. You're trying to create a message so that what happened to him would not happen to others.
Right.
Creatively, how do you start breaking that down?
I think what I did was, like, because back in the day I was closeted myself, and then, like, I felt like creatively thinking about the images I'm seeing, it's like you have this hope that it's, you know, you will not be rejected by your own parents. Mm-hmm. But then, like, in the film, in the music video itself, it has this journey going through, like, he got rejected by his own mom, and that's, like, right at the beginning, before the song even started. And then you start going through this, like, you know, how do I get my mom to accept me? And then you start having this depression affecting you. So then, like, you start seeing images of, like, him getting darker and darker from his point of view. It's just, like, the life is, it's just, like, not really worth it. And then he walked away from friends. And there's this, like, very important moment that he walked away from friends, like, not because he doesn't think any of his friends is going to accept him. If his own mother won't even accept him, why would he expect anybody else to accept him? Mm-hmm. But then, like, that's just all in his own head. So then, like, I feel like creatively I just wanted to really make that difference between, like, what is actually happening in real life and what's in his head. And then kind of go through with a song, and then at the end having this moment that he's deciding, but then you know, your friends are actually there all the time. You just need to really take a moment to think about, like, how much more love you actually have. Mm-hmm. Even though your mom might not, we never resolved that in the music video because it's not really the point wasn't because you that your parents are, like, you know, terrible, you know. It's like it's a trigger because of the stress, and then both parties are underneath, you know, for having a son that's homosexual and versus having a mom that might not be able to accept this. But it's more about, like, she might need more time to think about this. He just needed to remember that he is surrounded by more than just parents. He's surrounded more than people that are supporting and loving and care about him. So then that's why it was not exactly like a, it's not an autobiography. It's just more of a story that I feel like it's similar, and then it's a story that I wish that the ending is what it would have could have happened to my friend. Somebody actually reached out to go, hey, you have more friends than you know. And if this music video was made, maybe he could have stumbled across it. Maybe this could have, you know, mm-hmm. be something that can maybe save his life. And it didn't, but like, doesn't mean that this won't. If this goes out there more, doesn't mean it means that somebody could get affected by this. It doesn't mean it's going to, but I have faith that once this is out there, it's accessible to public, then more people will watch it and more people will be affected by it. So
on that note, let's take a look at the video. Maybe. Oh, is there supposed to be? There should be sound here, right?
After.
There you go. Okay.
It's gonna be okay. it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
It's gonna be okay.
You're gonna be okay. You have more friends than you.
So that was lovely.
Yeah, so beautiful.
Absolutely. I want to talk to you a little bit about, you're taking on a lot of roles here. You're directing, you're acting in it.
Oh, no, this one was also directed by Mariana.
Oh, was it?
Because,
okay.
Yeah, because when I was on set as an actor, a lot of time I can't see the camera. Basically, right, right. I mean,
I was going to ask you, because it's a lot to, I know sometimes you have veteran actors. Mm-hmm. After they've acted for several years, they're like, okay, well, maybe I'll take up directing, and directors do the same, vice versa. You know, directing for a couple of years, maybe I'll try the other side. You kind of dove into, like, every aspect of filmmaking immediately. Like, I can make a score, and I can act, and I can direct. Like, I'm not really worried about it.
I mean, I also arranged the music. The singing, I have them separately recorded, and then from people that are from Glee Club, that I taught Glee Club for a year in IFA, and then, like, have them just... I rehearsed them and then arranged it, and then we.
This is an original recording.
This is an original recording.
Get
this
out!
Is just another thing on his resume. That's all.
That's incredible.
Yeah, because I arranged songs for Glee Clubs to sing a lot, and then so like that. This is one of the songs. It was already sort of a. It was already arranged before, but I rearranged it to fit the people that we have, and just so like, it makes more sense that way.
Mm-hmm. All right, so how are you juggling all this? Yeah. How are we doing all these things at one time?
Well, I don't do them at the same time, but I just like it's a different part of the pre-production, and you know, so like to get it ready. But it was a lot of work for this one because I had to start 2 months before rehearsing and then you know getting it arranged and then like record it in the studio, and then after it's recorded, then we bring it to the. You know, while that after we're recording, we started doing pre-production and for scripts and all that, and then with working with Mariana Tome, and from the industry lab as well, and so we were able to finish this script, and then sort of like you know she did most of the like more of the technical part of it because I don't really have time to do that at the same time.
Sure.
So yeah, and I have a really amazing talented like crew member to do it, like you know director, producer. They were on point, and I trust them. They were the same one that did my thesis film.
That's plus, amazing. It's better on the budget if he could do it all on his own.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I do that a lot with all the films as well because like, I can, you know, save some money on that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Did you... thoughts are here, guys, I promise. As you're working through this video and, you know, creating these images... How do you feel like... Did you ever hear back from the composer and how did you feel about the final product?
He watched it and then he didn't really say a whole lot, but I'm kind of expecting that from him just because, you know, he is a professional in the industry and he does music all the time, Broadway, Avenue Q. So then he has seen a lot of stuff. So it's not like he's going to be like, this is the best thing I've ever seen, but it'll be like, it serves its purpose. I think that's what he told me.
Nice.
Okay. I think what he says, like, it serves its purpose. And I think I'm really glad that it's finished. And then like, you know, it's out there. So, yeah, but that's what he said. And then, like, I actually did get a message from the mom because I sent it separately to her. And then I don't... Because the video, we're very careful about not portraying the parents to be the bad guys.
Sure.
Because it's not really about that. But it's really just what I want to stay true to the lyrics of the song. And then, like, what she said was... it was very... She thought it was very, a very nice thing that I did for his son, for her son. And then she basically just said... Maybe there's things I could have done differently. And that's really all I wanted from her because it's more like it's not so much that she can do anything now, but she does have another son and then she does have, you know, other people in her life that she might be able to reevaluate. That's just, but it's not, the film, the purpose of the film, music video, or anything I've done, it's to make people think about what they are doing with their own life or maybe like, you know, if it's something that it's happening to them. So then like, and exactly what he said, like, it served a purpose. And, like, you know, she actually is, you know, thinking about what she did not necessarily, like, bad, but just, like, you know, she can reevaluate. Maybe she has something that can think differently and she can start seeing things differently. And then, you know, I think in the end, it better, it makes things better. It makes people's life better, and or doesn't, maybe not necessarily better, but like it changed the way they think, and then like, it's giving them more to think about. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely,
yeah.
So you're working on, can we talk about what he's working
on?
A musical. Yeah. Your own. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So recently, I've been inspired to do more about a musical I'm writing, and the script, and also getting it together with music. And it's for a women of color. And then right now it's a more interesting deal, kind of like going into the mother-daughter relationship in the Asian culture, in the Black community, in the Latino community. Like, it's just to explore the women, what they are, what they go through with their own family, and then while, like, you know, under this society. And I do want to explore a little bit, like, not necessarily make men the problem, but they are how they are, they assert dominance over women.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, like, that I wanted to be, have a, it's an element of the musical I'm writing. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to just kind of reflect the real reality of, like, what women have to go through. And then kind of, like, sort of under, even under the cultural expectation of what they should be. And then to kind of explore that through music and acting, I guess. So.
And he mentioned earlier that it's not a comedy; it's a drama.
Oh my! Yeah. Nice.
It's pretty, it's dramatic, and then I want to use this as like a way to kind of ethnic women more a voice to, like, you know, to share their experiences. And then, like, I want to make sure the script is, because, you know, I can see how that would be weird that it's written by an Asian man, you know? So, like, I wanted to have, like, I talked to a different interview, different, like, you know, friends that are in that kind of position. Like, you know, I recently did one with a lady. She's Mexican, and then she has, like, a daughter, and she also had her own mother to deal with, and I want to make sure the scripts stay true to every daily life of the different ethnicities, and, like, just kind of get it into a more authentic tone, and then while I have the song and the acting in it, because that's the only way to really resonate with the audience who are from that culture, from that background, and then even gone through the same thing. So,
right. Are you directing this?
Yes, this is what I'm directing, great. And I'm hoping to just only use all female cast, but that's still the case right now at the moment. So, and that's, I would awesome. Like to have that to be a new way to maybe make a sort of a mood. I would love to develop into a film to become right before Mother's Day, so
yeah,
next year, so hopefully.
Nice. That sounds amazing. I love hearing that you're diving into these cultures and you're trying to explore otherness. I know you were at the Resistance March,
yes,
for Pride. How was that?
It was exciting because it's, to me, it's emotional at the same time, because last year it was my first time in Pride, and I was with Game and Chorus, and I was dancing with, and we were doing at the time we were preparing for our concert with the Cuban first Game and Chorus that came over to come perform with us.
Wow.
So we have a lot of, like, you know, Gloria Estefan, like, you know, Dirk's Gonna Get You.
Yes.
So we were dancing those for 40 minutes on the parade. But this year it's a completely different thing, mm-hmm, because it's a very different time right now in this country. Mm-hmm. And so the Resist March is very emotional because it's also a year anniversary for Orlando incident. And which I also held a visual at NYFA last year through Glee Club. But, like, it's an emotional time, and then it's also a time of change right now. Like we have to really be out there to really have our voice out there to just make sure they know that we are resisting. We are. So I have a lot of, all the people are doing the same thing. I see when I was standing there ready for the people to march, end of the march, just watching thousands and thousands of people walking towards you. It's really emotional. It felt like a Les Mis moment for me. It's like I can hear them go singing, da, 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 da. You know, it's just like, I just feel like this is like a time of change right now because of that. And then people are there and showing up early in the morning to march, and then just, we have a performance at the end, and then we sing the song You Are the Game and Chorus did You Are the Voice. And that's a song we do a lot with another project we have called A Live Music Project, and I'm the pianist for that. and then they are...
What jobs don't you hold? You do so much.
I know. I don't sleep as much. But it's like something that we do to go to high school to talk about anti-bullying and being who you are. Aww. And it's okay to have your own voice kind of thing. Aww. And we did that song there, and I thought it was very emotional. And then we have different speakers coming up, like from the council, from the government, from Senate, and also from, like, you know, the mayor of, and even the mayor of West Hollywood, and even the pop singers, like, you know, Adam Lambert was there. And then, like, Chris Rock was there. Yeah. So there's some, like, very, a lot of, like, people that gathered together just to talk about how this time is important for us to, you know, keep our voice and then to really let the people in the White House know that there are people there here that don't really agree with what's happening. But then, like, I feel like the Resist March is, like, a place that we are just kind of reminding the people in power, saying we are still here. And then, you know, that's, you know, even though the decisions you make might not be what we're agreeing, but don't forget that we're here still. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we're not gonna back down, because we have what we believe in. And then, like, you know, it's just something. It's a very amazing experience, because that's kind of how, like, I feel like how my film will be like, you know, how, like, you know, everything I'm doing in terms of art or the film or singing will be like. It's just like, you know, having this kind of resonance of people.
I admire that you're doing that so much. And I feel like were many more, you know, millennials out there doing that with their work, the world would be a different place, honestly, right?
Absolutely. So, well, Todd, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us about your films and your wonderful experiences. I feel like I have a greater appreciation for kids that will do literally everything. I just can't even believe how many jobs you mentioned. And you're doing them all. Well, and you're doing them also well. And you're doing them at a level that is not just consistent and timely, but, like, you know, you've got the composer to, like, say, hey, what's up, and to donate. And I think that's huge a year out of school. So I'm proud. I'm really excited to have you back once this musical comes up, because we need to talk about it. Sounds amazing. Guys, before we get out of here, I have a quick announcement. My single here. I want to make a quick apology to Francesco Pianzeri, who we mentioned on our May 4th Star Wars episode. Francesco is great. I just said the wrong movie. He did not work on Rogue One. He worked on Star Wars Episode 7. So that was my bad, Francesco. I do apologize sincerely. So watch Episode 7 if you haven't already. Admire Francesco's work, because it's beautiful. Next week, we are going to have Mason Richards come in. Mason has an art installation up in New York. Kelly Gardner, who is the dean of students, shot the movie, which I'm really excited to see Kelly's work for the first time. It's going to be really fun. We're going to talk to Mason about his art, about his history on Broadway, and about what's coming up next. So join us next week. We'll be on at 3:30, not 4. So 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to catch Mason Richards next Thursday. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. We'll see you next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.